Do you remember being horrified by the news of Lacey Peterson's death at the hands of her husband, Scott? Lacey, as you know, was pregnant at the time. They were expecting their first child. So when Scott was found guilty of the murder of his wife, he was also found guilty of a second murder, that of his unborn son. But as dreadful as that news was, shouldn't we be even more horrified to learn that thousands of unborn babies are being murdered every day in our country? Did you know that today marks the 33rd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, where the Supreme Court determined to legalize abortion in our land? In case you didn't know, abortion is the extraction of a preborn child from its mother's womb with the intent to end its life prior to natural birth. Abortion is the surgical procedure which destroys human life. And today, on the 33rd anniversary of legalized abortion, I want all of you to see that abortion must be outlawed. Some perhaps may wonder why I am bringing up something that may appear to be an old, worn-out issue which was decided by the Supreme Court such a long time ago. In fact, the Gallup poll has shown that 9 out of 10 Americans have little idea what that Supreme Court decision is all about. Those who support abortion might think that I am bringing up sour grapes, and that I'm trying to reopen a can of worms that has been tightly sealed for 33 years. They may think, therefore, we should move on to more important issues that are facing our country today. And I once took a similar perspective many years ago. I once thought that people should just mind their own business and let the mother make up her own mind without any outside interference from those who may be trying to force their views on others. But I have come to see that there is another side to the issue, a side which I believe is more basic and crucial, and it is that of human life. Now, I admit that I have never been in a situation where I have become pregnant and was forced to make a decision whether or not to have an abortion. But in the early years of my pastoral ministry, there were two girls in our church who became pregnant outside of marriage. And through these two situations, I came to see how difficult and painful this issue can be for people who find themselves in that kind of a situation. It is not a subject that we can afford to be flippant or apathetic about, because it affects millions of Americans every year. Did you know that between 1.2 and 1.5 babies are aborted every year in the United States? That means that before this message is over, almost 200 babies will die somewhere in America from abortion. That is roughly one death every 25 seconds. And that death rate, spread out over 33 years, comes to 39,500,000 aborted children. That equals the entire population of Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas combined. That's a lot of people. And seeing how extensive abortion has become in our land should help us to understand something of the magnitude of this problem. And it will help you to see why abortion must once again be outlawed in our country. There are two simple reasons why it needs to be outlawed. First is because abortion is harmful. The harmful effects of abortion are extensive. It affects everyone in one way or another. Abortion is harmful to society in general. In an article, "Where Have All the Babies Gone?" Forbes magazine states that the birth rate in the U.S. has been declining until it is now almost below the rate of replacement. In fact, one brother, Bob Smith, was telling me that in 2004, statistics for New York City showed that the abortion rate was higher than the birth rate. About 70% of pregnant women in New York City ended their pregnancies through abortion. Census records report that the U.S. population is growing at less than 1% per year. And while it's estimated that a baby is born every 8 seconds, another baby is aborted at least every 20 seconds. And do you realize that a large chunk of our population, of the next generation, is being exterminated, and this can have tremendous economic, social, and political repercussions for our nation. And this is one reason why I believe that Social Security is in such trouble, because the next generation is not large enough to help pay for the generation that is retiring. Since abortion has been legalized 33 years ago, 15 million babies have been killed who would now be between the ages of 23 and 33. And that comprises a large portion of today's workforce. Not only is abortion harmful to society in general, abortion is harmful to doctors and nurses. It hurts them by giving the medical profession a bad name, a bad reputation. It's a blemish upon the industry. Because for centuries, doctors and nurses were known as people committed to healing and to saving lives. The Hippocratic Oath. But abortion has now become a $700 million a year industry in our country. An industry that makes money on taking away life. One doctor who realized that was Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who in the 70s and 80s had performed over 75,000 abortions before he quit to become one of the leading spokesmen in defense of the preborn child. And he said, "Those we're killing are one of us." So abortion is harmful to doctors, to nurses. It hurts them emotionally. Dr. Joseph Randall used to perform 50 to 60 abortions a day in a clinic in Georgia. But he said that the realization that he was taking away human life caused him such depression that he became suicidal and eventually had to quit altogether doing abortions. He later said that he would rather give his own life than to ever perform another abortion. Abortion is harmful. It is harmful to society. It is harmful to doctors and nurses. But also, abortion is harmful to mothers. It can hurt a woman physically. A woman who has an abortion can have immediate hemorrhaging and other physical complications. It can cause infection ranging from mild to fatal. Then there are the delayed complications, such as increasing the chances of premature birth and future miscarriages. The womb is a very delicate environment. And when an abortionist enters it with instruments that pry or tear or scrape, he may possibly destroy the woman's future reproductive ability and leaving her permanently sterile. And recent studies and research have also discovered that women who have ended their first pregnancy in abortion greatly increase the vulnerability to breast cancer. These this research is documented in some of the brochures and material that we've made available outside the back door on one of the tables. Abortion hurts the mother, not only physically, it also hurts her emotionally, psychologically. What psychologists refer to as post-abortion syndrome is that sense of guilt and remorse that many women feel after going through an abortion. Suicides are shown to be much higher among women who have aborted their babies than among women who have naturally miscarried. Feelings of shame and secrecy frequently surround abortion, which may preclude them reaching out to others for the needed emotional support that's available to those who miscarry. In fact, if you get the World Magazine, this week's edition is about the Roe v. Wade decision. And on page 25, there's a very interesting email that was sent by a woman who had an abortion in 77, but had just now got around to telling her mother and father. And I'd just like to share part of this with you. The email reads, "Dear Dad and Mom, this isn't going to be an easy email to write, but it is one that is way overdue. I'm involved with the Pregnancy Care Center for more reasons than you know. The summer of 1977, when I graduated, I had an abortion. All I could think about was the consequences of having a baby. My reputation, your reputation. What would you two say? What would the rest of the world say? I was scared. Like never before, I felt very ashamed of myself. I was early in my pregnancy, and I was very, very sick. I couldn't keep food down day or night. The abortion was scheduled quickly. I have blocked a lot of the details out. I do remember sitting in the waiting room, wishing I was invisible, afraid I would see someone there I knew, not realizing that the one who mattered the most was God, and that I could never hide from Him. I was in denial in what I had done for more than 7 years after my abortion. I used the constant morning sickness to justify my abortion in my mind with ideas like, there is no way I could have continued this pregnancy. Something was wrong. I couldn't stay this sick and not be able to eat anything. I would miscarry or something anyways. That's what I told myself for years. At some point after the abortion, though, I think a part of me died as well. I became harder inside. It had something to do with why my marriage never worked out. I never in my life wanted to have another baby. I didn't feel I deserved another baby when I had snuffed the life out of my first one. So maybe now things make a little more sense to you. Please forgive me for making such a serious decision without talking to you. I was just so scared to let anyone know. I didn't want to disappoint you or hurt either of you. I figured I could just get it over with and go on with my life. I had no idea that it would affect me for the rest of my life. So this is why I'm writing this painful email at 45 years of age. I have no excuses. I know I not only took the life of my baby, but also the life of your grandchild. I think sometimes of what it would be like for you to play with my child. Will you forgive me for my actions back in 1977? Will you forgive me for not sharing this with you earlier? Telling you these things is the hardest thing I've had to do, even though this dark area of my life was brought to light by God years ago. It is now in the light with you as well." So I hope you can see how harmful abortion is to society, to doctors and nurses, to mothers. And what should be most obvious to all is that abortion is harmful to babies. It is harmful to babies most of all because it kills them. Abortion takes human life. And it does this in several cruel and painful ways. Abortion takes human life by pulling it apart piece by piece and sucking it through a tube with a high-powered vacuum machine. Abortion kills human life by poisoning it with a saline solution. Abortion kills human life by cutting it in pieces and scraping it out with a surgical knife. Abortion kills human life by pulling it apart piece by piece with surgical pliers. Abortion takes human life. And if you could watch an abortion procedure, you would find it terribly disturbing. Even more disturbing than an open heart surgery, which is more bloody. And the reason why is because those who see it know that human life is being taken. One of the most dangerous places for a human being to be is in its mother's womb. Because over 1 out of every 4 babies will never come out alive. Put yourself in the place of an unborn child for a moment. Imagine yourself resting comfortably in your mother's womb. You are now in a very dangerous place. You are now the most defenseless person in the world. You are unable to hide or run from the abortionist who has just now invaded your peaceful sanctuary. You are powerless to kick away those surgical pliers that have just clamped onto your left leg. And as you feel your leg being ripped out of its socket, who will hear your screams? Who will know your pain? Who will come to your rescue? Dear friends, we have got to outlaw abortion. If we outlaw abortion, we will never have to think about these things again. Abortion kills human life. No one will dispute that. Even those who are pro-abortion. It kills human life, and for that reason it must be outlawed. Not only because it's harmful, but secondly because abortion is sinful. And you may have noticed that up until now, I haven't mentioned a single verse of Scripture, and I haven't made a single reference to God. And that is because the whole issue is self-evident. It's clear that abortion takes human life. It cannot be right. Just plain common sense should tell us that abortion is wrong. But our consciences must be informed by Scripture, not by popular opinion or majority vote or just common sense. Scripture teaches that abortion is sinful because it destroys the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Further in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, we are told, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." When God created man, He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, a living being. The imago Dei, the image of God, is what gives humanity dignity above all other earthly creatures. And this image pertains to all types of people, regardless of rank,
social, political, spiritual, or economic status, including the mental and physically handicapped and the preborn child. And it is this divine image, intrinsic to all humanity, that gives human beings a unique dignity and distinguishes us from all other creatures on earth. Scripture teaches that a human being is present in the mother's womb at the moment of conception. Did you know that the baby's heart begins beating 25 days after conception? That's before many women even realize that they're pregnant. At 45 days, brain waves can be detected. And soon after that, the baby begins to hear its mother's voice. Because man is created in God's image, he has great value and worth. And we should have a high view of human life, which should help us to see that destroying human life is striking out against God Himself, in whose image we have been created. Another reason why abortion is sinful is because it is against the law of God. All sin is lawlessness. And abortion breaks the sixth commandment: thou shalt not kill. My friends, there's no getting around it. Abortion is murder. When Scott Peterson took the life of his unborn son, he was charged and found guilty of murder. But if an abortionist had taken that same boy's life with the mother's consent, it would have been perfectly legal. Roe v. Wade has legalized murder in our country. When are people going to wake up and see the folly of such sin? Let's call it for what it is: sinful. Another reason why abortion is sinful is because it sheds innocent blood. The Old Testament reading that we looked at in 2 Kings chapter 21 presents us with a vivid description of King Manasseh's sins. In verse 16, we are told, "Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another." But then if you read on the next few chapters, it shows that years later, when his grandson Josiah took to the throne, he brought about a great reformation throughout the land. And we read in 2 Kings 23:25, "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses." But in the very next verse, we read these words: "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah, because of all that Manasseh had done to provoke him to wrath." So in spite of this great reformation, this great revival throughout the land under King Josiah, God still determined to punish his people by bringing them into exile. So what was it that Manasseh did that was so bad to provoke God to such anger that he would refuse to forgive Israel? The only unique sin that is highlighted is found in 2 Kings 24, verses 3 and 4, where we read, "Surely these things happened to Judah according to the Lord's command, in order to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Manasseh and all he had done, including the shedding of innocent blood. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord was not willing to forgive." He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood here refers to the official sanction of sacrificing children in the fire. It was nothing less than legalize murder with the endorsement of the king. And if the Lord was unwilling to forgive Judah for filling Jerusalem with innocent blood, what grounds do we have to expect God to forgive us in America for 33 years of filling our nation with the innocent blood of unborn children? The innocent blood of 39 million babies cries out for vengeance. Their blood clings to the hands of our nation, officially sanctioned by the highest court in the land. How can God not avenge this innocent blood? It may already be too late for Him to avert His wrath. If we look around, we can see signs of His wrath already having been falling upon our land. But nevertheless, abortion must still be outlawed, not only because it is harmful, but because it is sinful. And God says, "Thou shalt not kill." And I take full responsibility for not bringing this atrocious sin before the people of Grace Covenant Church on a regular basis. Abortion must be outlawed, and we must not allow this issue to simply fade away because it was decided so long ago. Will you do your part to help end this dreadful Holocaust? Dear friends, it's time for all of us to get out of the dugout and get on the field and play an active role in ending abortion. What can we do to stop the killing? We can do several things to stop the killing. First, we can begin with repentance. We can repent of our sins of apathy, indifference, fear, laziness, lack of love, lack of compassion, selfishness, self-centeredness. We can repent, and we should. And next, we can pray. Because this is ultimately a spiritual battle, as Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Pray that God will give us wisdom and that He will give us the guidance we need in this cosmic struggle. And pray for a national awakening. We need revival. Pray that God would bring from coast to coast such a conviction of sin and repentance on a national scale that no one would dare have an abortion. And start joining us on Sunday evenings for our prayer service. Let's make this a regular part of our prayer service, that we would pray that God would be pleased to overturn this. Pray for pro-life judges to receive Senate confirmation to the Supreme Court. Pray for the overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision. Pray for God's intervention in closing down the abortion clinics that dot our nation's countryside. And pray that God will give us courage to speak up for the unborn. And next, we ourselves can speak up. Proverbs 31:8 tells us, "Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." We need to speak up. And we can speak up with a biblical view of sex. We can help promote biblical chastity and sexual purity, first among our own children and in our community. We can speak up by helping to care for unwed mothers. Each year, almost 1 million teenage girls become pregnant, and they are scared, and they need help. And we can help them by supporting our local crisis pregnancy centers. In fact, I had the opportunity to attend a meeting where there is a proposal for a new crisis pregnancy center to be established in Chandler. And here are some ways that you can help get this off the ground. We can help by supporting these centers, volunteering our time and our services. We can help with our money as well. We need to speak up. And we can speak up by ministering to those women who have previously had abortions. Many young women have had an abortion because they really didn't want to, but their boyfriends or their parents or someone pressured them into having the abortion. And many of these women were deceived into thinking that they were doing what was best for everyone. They need our love and our support. Many still carry around the burden of guilt years later. There's an excellent story told in a book by Josh Harris, which I want to thank Stephanie Perry for guiding me to recently. It's about a Christian woman who had an abortion that had devastated her. And she poured out her heart to a woman named Rebecca Pippert. And she said, "I've confessed this sin 1,000 times and still feel such shame and sorrow. The thought that haunts me the most is, how could I murder an innocent life?" And Rebecca replied, "I don't know why you're so surprised. This isn't the first time your sin has led to death. It's the second. For when you look at the cross, all of us show up as crucifiers. Religious or non-religious, good or bad, aborters or non-aborters, all of us are responsible for the death of the only innocent person who ever lived." And the woman suddenly stopped crying and said, "You're right. I have done something far worse than killing my own baby. My sin is what drove Jesus to the cross. If the worst thing any human being can do is to kill God's Son, and that can be forgiven, then how can anything else, even my abortion, not be forgiven?" And that woman was literally transformed that moment by a proper understanding of the cross. And let me say, it is because of the cross of Jesus Christ that we can be forgiven for all of our sins, past, present, future, even abortion. It is at the cross that our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who became our substitute. He substituted Himself in our place and died for our sins. God punished His Son for our sins. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So God no longer holds our sins against us when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here today who has yet to do that, I urge you, for the sake of your soul, for your eternal destiny, for your future peace and comfort and hope, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. God offers true peace and hope to all who look to Christ and by faith trust in Him alone for salvation. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So even if there is someone here today who has undergone an abortion, God's hands are open to you. He offers you peace. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you hope and everlasting joy and happiness if you will come to Jesus Christ and put your trust in Him alone. Renounce your sins, repent and turn from them, and you will be saved. And finally, let me just say that the best way we can speak up for the unborn is to speak up with the gospel. Paul could say in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The best way to destroy the ideology behind abortion is to overcome it with a better one. And only with the power of the gospel will we be able to demolish strongholds, taking every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. If we don't speak up, who else will? God is calling us to speak up for the unborn by speaking up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24:11-12 tells us, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? We cannot plead ignorance as an excuse for disobedience and apathy. If you're convinced that abortion should be outlawed, I ask you, when you leave today, stop by the table outside and get a brochure. Pray for God to show you what you can do to help do your part in putting an end to this Holocaust. Commit yourself with your time, with your money, toward overthrowing abortion. Don't leave here today remaining apathetic and unmoved. Because innocent blood has been flowing through the streets of our country for 33 years. And that's 33 years too long. Let us do our part to stand up for the helpless and defend the rights of the unborn. And may the grace of God be with us and help us to do just that for His glory and for the sake of human life. Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word, which guides us and directs us and helps us to form a true, accurate appraisal of the worth, the dignity, and value of human life, even human life in the womb. We confess our sins to you this day, Lord, that we ourselves are guilty. Perhaps we ourselves did not lift up the knife or carry the unborn into the abortion clinics. But in many ways we have looked on silently, almost giving our approval with our silence. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for sitting around in our own comfort zones and willing to do very little to put an end to such an atrocity. We ask that you would forgive us and guide and direct us and show us what we can do as individuals, as families, and as a church congregation to put an end to abortion and to see it outlawed once again, knowing that our country has made it for over 200 years without abortion and has done just fine. Lord, help us. We pray, Lord, that you too would be pleased to bare your right arm and put an end to the killing that happens every day in our country. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.